Hello, and welcome to our Lion Knight discussion of Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring. I am Eric, and we have Marcus.
Hi.
Max.
Howdy, folks.
Jamie.
Well, hello.
Tony.
Greetings, traveler.
And Caleb.
Well, we had Caleb.
All right, let's keep going from here, I guess. But for this week, we read the Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring, and we read through the prologue and I guess the first chapter, which is, what was that called? It was like a long expected party or something like that.
Yep. A long expected party. Exactly.
I guess, does somebody want to give us like a summary of kind of what happened in the prologue?
Marcus?
I know I'm usually the go-to here. I don't feel super prepared for this one.
Yeah, we can have someone else go. Anyone else, you know, want to jump in? Or
I mean, I'd be happy to start this if no one else is.
I could do the prologue.
Okay, perfect. Jamie,
yeah,
go
for
ahead.
It, Jamie.
Yeah, so it's talking about hobbits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, there's like a few different clans. It's basically like world building at this point. So I thought it was kind of cool. I'm not going to go into like the details of what tribes are from what places, but I thought it was fun. Like they all have different like foot shapes and preferences, and they think others are weird.
Mm-hmm.
Next, there's an entire chapter on what's called pipeweed.
Oh yeah, this is the class.
I had to read that one.
Yeah, that was the most interesting to me.
but it's just nicotine, guys. The men of Gondor call it sweet Galenus. But the hobbits are very like prideful of you know, it's like a skill of how to smoke.
Yeah, because
well,
it's like
more,
the
more than
one
just
thing
a
they
skill.
Invented, right?
More than a skill, they say it's an art, and I love that because honestly, I don't know if you guys ever smoked a pipe, but it's really fucking hard. It's not as easy as a cigarette, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I do think. No offense, but I this is my bad, I guess. I think we did kind of skip ahead. We should discuss, I guess, because they started out right with the they start out with that like part about the rings, right? You know, where it's like three rings to the elves.
Oh right, the classic.
Yeah, which I mean, I think it's very important actually. The like, you know, I mean, the numbers. I think he doesn't choose those numbers lightly, kind of thing. I think it was here. I actually wrote it down. It's three rings for the elven kings under the sky, seven for the dwarf lords in their walls of stone, and then nine for the mortal men just doomed to die.
So, I mean, you're a numerology guy. Does those numbers mean anything to you?
I mean, that was kind of tough, actually. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I have the, like, you know, the obvious kind of, there's the, like, they're all very, you know, holy numbers, right? You have
right,
your three,
right.
Which is your trinities, then you have your seven, which isn't, you know, I think you could say the seven idea does kind of play more into, like, the base nature, I guess, a little bit more of dwarves, kind of, like, the more earthy nature, where it's kind of, and they're more grounded in, like, appreciating wealth and stuff like that. So
wait,
I think
you said it was eight?
It's seven.
Seven. Oh, okay.
So three and four. You know, it's yeah. I mean, that's a and the elves might kind of with the three maybe play into like the purity of them a little bit. I guess you know, where it's kind of like
that.
It's the most like most spiritually inclined kind of thing where they're like the you know the least amount of almost like what is that like. Feedback or not feedback but like fuzz on the signal kind of thing, I guess, you know.
Yeah, what's the term for that?
Yeah, it's like the term eludes me right now, but you know. And then nine I find interesting for mortal men. I feel like there is a surprising amount of like Kabbalah in here actually, because like this something I noticed is, you know, I mean, there's kind of a little bit of, you have some, so the only place I can really think of nine playing into, like, the mortal men doomed to not die would be kind of Tree of Life idea, and that's kind of where it's, like, so the nine would be kind of, like, if you stop at the nine, you know, rather than getting to the 10, where 10 is kind of, like, reincarnation, you know, the reset, immortality kind of thing, whereas 9 would be kind of like the, you reached the peak of mortality, but didn't quite make it, you know, so to speak.
That makes sense.
But, I mean, there are plenty of other interpretations, I'd say, for this, definitely. I mean, that's just, like, rudimentary, you know? Mm-hmm.
And one thing I found interesting is my book actually did not open with that those lines at all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mine does not bring those up until I was looking ahead just now because I'm like looking for it in mine. It doesn't bring up those lines until chapter 2, actually, which we did not read. So,
really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine just opened with it.
Yeah, because my copy didn't.
So I guess let's go into then a little bit of the part with the hobbits. You know, kind of go into the prologue, kind of dig into that.
Yeah. So it keeps on going then. It talks about like hobbit society, which is like very egalitarian. So like certain families tend to have more power, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of mentioning that like weird things are happening in hobbit society lately. You know, mm-hmm. So a little bit of foreshadowing, I think.
Did they say anything specific?
Let's see.
I guess on that though, they mention how they had like their interactions, right, originally with like the other races of Middle Earth, you know,
right,
and then they were like written about, and then they kind of retreated into themselves a little bit, kind of like, you know, into their own societies, and then were forgotten about actually in the history books by the other races and such, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just says. There are many reports and complaints of strange persons and creatures prowling about the borders or over them.
Okay, yeah.
You know, just kind of your generic, like, oh, we're about to have a story, you know?
right.
Uh-huh, it's, things are really heating up in this place.
Exactly.
I do think that really helps, like, reinforce the tone of just how calm the Shire is, though, because like the fact that they're kind of getting weirded out that it's like, hey, there are people, you know, and not like the normal people that come here. It's like, it's definitely that, you know, kind of little hideaway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that too with they talk about how like the biggest fear that the Hobbits kind of have now is like the rivers around them, kind of thing, like people drowning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's not really, you know, real problem, so to speak, you know.
Yeah, the other thing I found really...
Like they don't even swim. They just kind of hang out in their holes.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of, like, Reed and Redwall books, you know, kind of like when they just do, like, the feasts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't remember Redwall. Probably inspiration, but...
Yeah, I love it when they describe all the food they eat.
Yeah. Right. It's like, oh, that sounds sick.
Is there anything else in the prologue that was notable?
It gives like a recap of what happened in The Hobbit. You know, imagine like last time in Lord of the Rings.
It's like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, so it's like the or Bilbo, you know, you've all read the But basically, Bilbo goes on this journey, defeats a dragon with a bunch of dwarves and Gandalf, gets lost, finds a magical, powerful ring, and escapes. And
now, mention in the book that Bilbo lies to everybody about the ring?
Yeah. I was just going to bring that up. That's an interesting point, right? Like, so basically, he cheated Gollum. He basically just ran away. He like stole the ring and ran away. But then
that's not quite true.
Everybody about it. Like he's like, oh yeah, I won it. You know, we played a game and I won it fair and square. So it was interesting. It kind of tells a little bit about Bilbo's character, and I think it sets him up as like corruptible, right?
I kind of disagree there, to be honest. Just from having read The Hobbit and. My feelings there are a little flavored by that. But, I mean, Gollum was going to kill him. And also, he didn't, like, intentionally steal the ring in, like, a direct way or cheat Gollum out of it. It was more of he was running away and he had the ring. And had he not had the ring, he just would have died. Because Gollum would have slipped it on and killed him.
True. So you could argue it was like out of necessity, right?
Yeah, I mean, so, for sure.
He definitely so realized I guess that on it's Gollum's that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Marcus, on that though, I guess, so why do you think he was lying, you know, I guess?
I mean, I think that's a really interesting question. And I think it comes into like the context of what's going on in The Hobbit there, and like how Bilbo is feeling about like his journey with the dwarves.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Because if I remember correctly, and I don't want to get too into like The Hobbit, especially if you know people who are listening haven't read it or people haven't read it in our group recently, but from what I remember, the reason he doesn't say anything is because he wants to, like, is because, you know, he's still not really accepted that much by certain members of the party. Because, you know, Gandalf was like, guys, he's coming. And they're like, we don't want a 13th member. That's an unlucky number. And they're like, and Gandalf's like, too bad. He's coming or I'm not coming. And so it kind of, you know, they don't really trust him. And so he doesn't want to make it seem like, oh, the only reason I got away is because I had, like, a magical ring that just made no one able to see me. Like, they were like, how did you get away? And he's like, well, I guess I'm just a really good thief.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it's like, yeah. I mean, like, adding that he's a thief, like that he stole something would definitely give him more street cred.
Well, right. Well, I mean, it's exactly what he's hired for.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And they suggest at first, they're like,
Yeah. So it's to try to, I guess, impress people, so to speak, is the reason. It's not kind of insidious, so to speak. It's not a shameful lie, I guess, you know? Well,
right.
I'd have to go back and reread it, but I thought that, like, his answers for how he got the ring, like, changed over time, and I thought that was supposed to, like, represent how it's slowly corrupt.
It's corrupt in him, yeah. I mean,
that might be the case.
Because I think on Jamie's, like, that shows him as corruptible, because, I mean, it's like, yeah, we do know he corruptible, right? Like that's kind of what the ring is showing with the hold it has, such, you know. So it's like we do know he is corruptible. Like that's kind of a given fact, so to speak.
Right, it's canon.
Right, but I do think with the initial, you know, using the ring and then being asked how he escaped, like I think it kind of shows how it doesn't corrupt hobbits as quickly, because it's more just like, because he at first. If I'm remembering it correctly, and I'm pretty sure I am because I read it not too, like a couple years ago, but I could be wrong. But it's almost like they're like, how did you get out? Like, it's like typical dwarves, you know, like kind of asking a question, but then not really listening to the answer. Because they're like, how'd you get out? And he's about to say something. And then one of the other dwarves is like, he must be like the best thief ever to have escaped out of that alive. And then they're like, yeah, like how, like, what, like Bilbo, you must be pretty great. So it's not even like he like thought of this plan to be like, I'm just going to impress them. But it was kind of like they put that idea in his head. And then Gandalf was kind of like, yeah, Bilbo, how did you do it? You know, and he's like, well, I guess I'm just, you know, he's like, I guess they're right, you know.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just a pretty good thief. Yeah.
Still, though, I think it is like kind of shows like, you know, poor values, if you will, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's not
overall. You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's kind of why Gandalf asked him, why'd you lie about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I think it is a very interesting, it's good writing, you know, damn good writing.
Yeah, I really like Tolkien's writing style.
I guess so, on the Hobbits, they had the three different Hobbit tribes, you know, well, I guess there was the more agrarian Shire ones is kind of my assumption there, where they're kind of like, they're settled, you know, kind of thing by the river and such. And then they had like, I think it was kind of more the more mountainous ones who like hung out with like the dwarves and such.
Yeah.
And then they had like the elven ones who, you know, were kind of like adventurers and such and things like that, you know. I guess, did you guys have any on those kind of things, kind of, you know, think it's anything important there?
I don't want to like be too simplistic here, but like for me it was just really interesting to see that like the like depth of the characters there portrayed that you don't get at all in the movies, really. As far as like Hobbits in the Shire goes, like it's a pretty like simple place in the movies. And I really appreciated the depth that we got here.
Yeah, you like learn the actual kind of like full-on customs and I guess how the society is actually structured a little bit more.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
You don't kind of just assume it's like, oh, small village or something like that. You know, you kind of understand how it actually, the inner workings, so to speak, with like the families and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's like in these parts of the books, like where you can really tell that he used to be, you know, a historian and like a professor, because he definitely like builds a history of the Shire that's really kind of engaging. And I think it actually sets up character development because, you know, it's like, oh, well, these hobbits now, like, you know, maybe they're just completely happy with their lives in the Shire and terrified of any kind of adventure or journeys. But like they have a storied history. Like it's one of those things where it's like they weren't always that way. And I mean, you see it in The Hobbit and you see it again, Lord of the Rings, where it basically is like a hearkening back to almost like these hobbits of myth kind of thing where it's like, oh, I don't know if I could do it. It's like, well, you know, Bulroar could ride a horse. That's how bad, like, you know, that's how awesome he was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess, do we want to get a little bit to, I guess, the second chapter then, or the first chapter, I guess?
Yeah, who wants to summarize the first chapter?
Well, this is a big one.
It's time for the birthday party! I'll do it.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks, Tunga.
So basically, the first chapter of this book really like introduced like Bilbo and sort of a little bit more of the Shire. And basically, it's Bilbo sort of prepping for his like birthday party that he's going to have that everyone's pretty much talking about and is pretty excited for.
Which birthday party, Tony?
111. Is it 111th?
11-1.
11-1. Yeah. Everyone's like, yeah. But it seems like everyone's sort of on the edge of their seat and they're all sort of talking. And they talk a little bit about how everyone is like under the impression that Bilbo has this like huge wealth that he's brought back from like the dwarves mountain or whatever. And so they're
right,
like,
with,
oh,
like tunnels,
yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone's like, oh yeah, there's tunnels. But like those seem to be shut down by like Bilbo's friends, and like so like he's really good friends with like a farmer or whatever,
like the gaffer.
Yeah, the gaffer, who's nice. Like, is it like Sam's,
it's
dad?
Sam's dad, yeah.
He's like, no, that's not true. Like, and then they talk a little bit. Go ahead.
The people don't believe.
Yeah.
True. They're all like, nah, he definitely has those holes, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I was pissing the gaffer off. He's like, he never liked her, but like today in particular, he hated her.
Yeah. And then they talk a little bit about how like Frodo's like parents are gone, and like a little bit about Bilbo adopting Frodo, and like what else they talk about? Basically like why Frodo was living there, that sort of thing.
Well, they talk about how Frodo's dad died.
His dad and his mom died in a boat accident, and people were like spreading rumors that she killed him, and like as he was falling out of the boat, he pulled her.
He like dragged her down.
Yeah, and then there was another one where it was like, no, he killed her, and like, no, they shouldn't have been out in the boat. Everyone knows hobbits shouldn't go out in the water. Like,
so let's stop there and kind of like, what did you guys get from that?
I think it's just meant to be like small town gossip.
Yeah,
maybe that's going too small, but that's what I
see. I mean, that's kind of what I was.
Yeah, I didn't. Like, I didn't pick up anything like this was supposed to be like a. I thought it was more of just like a trying to like explain that Frodo and Bilbo aren't really like he didn't like grow up with Bilbo. Like he's more of like a new like living place with them.
And I guess the gossip is kind of. It's not good gossip, right? Kind of thing.
No.
It's not like, oh, I heard he's the Prince of Arabia, you know, kind of crap.
Right.
You know, and I think that kind of, it shows a little bit like Frodo's position in the Shire, you know?
Right. And I think it also shows a little bit of how Bilbo doesn't really care for the rumors. He's not really like outwardly going trying to like.
He's not trying to stop it.
Yeah, he's not trying to stop it. Like, and also Bilbo's very much like to himself, that sort of thing. Like he has like his people that he talks to, but he's not like over the top.
Yeah.
Although I do think, like, getting from that scene, what I got from it is kind of going back to the idea of, like, the you know, almost like mythic people of the Hobbit's, you know, past, where it's like the reason that they're making up these rumors, A, because, yeah, it is just a small town. They have nothing better to do. But I feel like it kind of paints the picture that, like, whatever did happen, they were doing something that normal hobbits wouldn't do. And it kind of associates that, like, Frodo's got a little bit of a wild streak in him compared to other hobbits, you know?
Well, yeah, you could say the fact that they're being talked about, right? Like, that's sign enough that they're more significant than the normal hobbit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And that's why I think Bilbo takes him under his wing so much, is because they're both kind of like, it's really weird because they are, like, the important people of the society, and they're also the outcasts at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I was going to kind of talk about that a little bit. I think Jamie brought up, like, a really good point in that they're, like, very egalitarian. And the fact that Bilbo kind of, like, broke out of the social norm, he went on an adventure. Most hobbits in the Shire don't do that. And now people kind of hold that against him a little bit. He's wealthy, and they're like, you know, like, this isn't the natural way of things.
They all thought
a little bit, though, fine with them, like, you know, ruling or, like, you know, running the society kind of thing. They do mention how I think it's that the Shire were originally, their chieftains were the like, elf adventurer hobbits rather than, like, the you know, farmer hobbits and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they do have almost of being, like, led by the adventurers, even though they don't fit into their, like, society, so to speak, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and I think I kind of, and it's weird because the way that I first read it, and I did it again this time just because I really liked it, and I, in a weird way, I think it's, like, the ideal way to read the book is to read the first chapter and then read the prologue, because reading the prologue, you're caught up to everything that happens in the Hobbit, right? But when you read the first chapter without the prologue, then you're kind of are in the Hobbit's mindset, and I feel like you learn a lot about Bilbo that way, because it's like, people think, like, you know, there's all sorts of rumors, like, what quests he went on. And it shows how secretive he was about what actually happened, because people are, like, you know, have all these crazy, ridiculous theories about how Bilbo got this money or, like, what adventure he went on. But all they know is that, you know, he's hiding something and they've never seen the gold. But because he's, like, a recluse in Hobbit society where everyone's very gossipy and open to each other, that's like, oh, he's hiding something, you know.
Yeah, he's gotta be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's the way I just read it, because I felt like that really helps you, like, pick up on, like, not just who Bilbo is, but, like, who the Shire sees Bilbo as, and by extension Frodo, since Frodo's basically Bilbo's ward.
Yeah.
And then they talk a little bit about how was it Gandalf shows up at this point, or is it later?
He shows up in is it September? Yeah, it's September.
Yeah.
Because there's a rumor spread by Sam that there's going to be fireworks.
Right. Which was true.
Yep, but they were freaking out about it because they were like, oh, we haven't seen fireworks for, like, nearly a century, like, since the old Took died, basically.
Yeah, they were talking about how it was 60 years ago or something like that, right?
Right. Yeah, and it's like the, like, dwarves with long beards and deep hoods show up, and they're singing these foreign songs, and they're pushing this, you know, or not pushing, but, you know, they're steering this carriage that, and, like, a bunch of people come out and are, like, gaping at it, which I do think also highlights, like, just how little things out of the ordinary happen in Hobbit, that, like, a carriage goes through town and people
are going crazy.
Right, that small town feel.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, the fact, and, like, the dwarves obviously stay at Bag End. Then, you know, it's like the classic, an old man who's wearing the cloak and hat shows up. You know, and you obviously know it's Gandalf.
Right, right. The blue hat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he has on his carriage too, right?
Yeah, he has his. Because there's two carriages, right? The first one with the dwarves and the majority of the fireworks. And then Gandalf with his, like, special ones. Because there's, like, it's kind of like there's fireworks, but then there's special fireworks
Mages
that he comes with. Right, and they have, like, dwarven runes on them. And it's, like, the rune for, you know, G, which is obviously for Gandalf.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know. I this scene in particular is something that I at least feel like with these first two bits that we read is a running theme, and that's that like you can. It's so easy to just picture it in your head. Like you get such a concrete image, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I can see the dwarves going up this winding road on the hill with these, you know, hobbit holes on either side, and people kind of coming out to stare, and they don't notice, and they're just singing along because, you know, they're dwarves. Like they, you know, they don't even like recognize that people are staring at them. And then Gandalf comes, and that's like the icing on the cake kind of thing. Cause these little kids who have only ever heard about him in stories are like so excited that he's coming that they like run out and like meet him as they see the wagon, like come to the Shire.
And then they're like, quick, please show us like a firework. And he's just like, nah, I'm going.
No. Well, I thought of the movie there for a bit where they're like, show us something. And then he's like, hit. Well, so this is something I noticed. The first difference we have, kind of major one, I'd say, from the movie and the book. And the book, Gandalf's a little like crankier, like a lot crankier. This is a good example. A good example here is that like kids are like, oh, show us some fireworks. And then the book is like, no, like fuck off. Like you'll get them later. And then in like the action in the movie, you know, he's like, he's like, no. And then he does it. And then they're like, yeah.
Well, I was just going to say on that, like my takeaway from that, like I read that part too, and it was different, but I distinctly thought about it, and it's going to sound kind of like dumb, but to me, it's like in the book, Gandalf is much more like British, you know, like that's like I can see like someone like my grandmother, like kind of do it like, you know, where it's like you have a surprise, but like she's like, they're not going to give anything away, you know, it's like, oh, you'll get it later. Because I think he says specifically at first, he's like, no, but then he's like, you'll get plenty when the time comes, you know, just to me, like the way the British side of my family, that was very like reminiscent, you know, where it's like, don't ask for something before it's going to happen, but you are going to get something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, the payoff will be better if you wait kind of thing, you know?
Right, exactly.
That was definitely how I took it, where it's like he could give them what they want now, but if they wait, dude, it'll be so much better. You know?
Yeah, that upon reading it, I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, that was a good move, Gandalf.
Making those right. You're like,
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, oh, we got to show how much Gandalf loves the hobbits. So, like, he, you know, and like him reestablish that he's like the, you know, the grandpa type. And so I guess that is kind of like a little, you know.
Yeah.
Grandpa thing to do. But I do like how it's like that you have all this nice stuff, but there is kind of like it's like his real business was far more difficult and dangerous, but the Shire folk like knew nothing about it. I really like the way he laces that kind of stuff in, where it's like, you know, there'll be something, but he just doesn't tell you right away. Like, it could have been very easy for him to just be like, he was here to see about the ring, but then that doesn't really build suspense. So in the back of your mind, like, you know, the party's the main focus, but you kind of have that, like, all right, like, why is he really here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that kind of ties in with this whole idea of like the Shire is a place where nothing ever happens, you know, and then like outside stuff comes in, and that, you know, that's where the adventure and intrigue is.
Mm.
So at this point, Gandalf meets Bilbo at his house, right?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, are they discussing the party, or are they discussing, because is it this point that Bilbo sort of explains, like, hey, I want to take another holiday or journey?
Not yet. At this point, at first, Gandalf's talking about how, you know, like, they're talking, it's like small talk. They're talking about the garden, which, this really makes me want to have, like, a garden, you know, where it's talking about all, like, the red and gold and flowers and stuff. But he's like, how bright the garden looks, and they have a little bit of small talk, and then Gandalf's like, so are you going with the plan? And we don't know what the plan is, but right. Bilbo's like, he's like, I do. I made up my mind months ago, and I haven't changed it.
And then he asks about Frodo now.
Right. And Gandalf's basically like, okay, that's good. Just make sure you stick to the whole plan. You know?
Right.
then it talks about how like a bunch more carts start showing up the day after.
Mm-hmm.
And after like it's classic, like the hobbits, you know, they're kind of like, oh, seriously, like what's going on? Like, why are there all these carts showing up? But then they're happy with it because all the people, like, you know, that are showing up with the carts are buying their stuff. Because obviously the dwarves need their food and drink. And
right.
So, like, then once they're like, oh, they're buying our stuff, then they're like happy about it, you know?
Right. And as it starts to ramp up, my favorite part, one of my favorite parts in this chapter was all the hobbits waiting to get invitations to his birthday party.
Oh yeah, yeah.
it shuts down like the post office town.
That's
blast. It's like everyone's already invited, but they have to wait for their invitations. I thought that was a nice like touch that like how much of a community it is. How like
yeah.
They still have like formal traditions that you have to have an invitation to go. Yeah.
I also like that he still managed to forget people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. There's like, you know, yeah, like a couple people got forgotten, but it was all right. Cause
like, they showed up anyway, and it was okay. Like, they were meant to show up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I do like that too, where it's like, you know, they're kind of like insulted that they didn't get their invitation, but they're obviously not gonna abstain from going.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. Because it's not that big of an insult, but you're supposed to get an invite, like
right. It's definitely kind of like that kind of like petty thing too. Like it's like, well, you know, you're invited. It's like, yeah, but I'm waiting for an invitation, and then they don't get one. They're like, oh, whatever. I'm still gonna go. You
know? They're kind of like Sancho's. I mean, this whole thing, you know. Like,
I mean, you know, Sancho. It's pretty clear what they're going for, you know.
Well, I mean, there's even one named Sancho.
That was my point.
Yeah.
You just know it's the hobbits from like that one other clan who didn't get invited.
Well, and they're all like, you know, about like comforts and stuff like that. I mean, about that, how they're all kind of, they're a little plump because they eat a ton and stuff like that.
Damn, it's like an entire civilization of Sanchos.
Yeah. Well, and I like how you see that like as developments for the party go by, because like we said, you know, they talk about Bilbo behind his back all the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't really trust, because it's like, it's very un-Hobbit like. But they also I think that actually ties into why he's still like a pillar of the Shires, because he's so different. They're fascinated by what he's like. Oh, what's he gonna do? Because it's like, it says like, you know, every new development of the party, like the whole town is like, you know, waiting with bated breath and like what is going to happen. Like, it talks about like how one day the town wakes up and he's like, this giant area has been cleared for where the party's going to be, and like these giant like tents and poles have gone up, and you know,
they've made a road off of their already existing road to go down to it.
Right, exactly.
And it happened like in a night.
Yeah, and I like how it's like, just kind of going back to the routine of the hobbits, it's like something I really thought was kind of funny is like, old Gaffer Gamgee stopped even pretending to work in his garden, you know? Like, the classic like kind of day-to-day like pretending to work, and then he like looks over and like, I'm just imagining, you know,
like, yeah, I'm not. Yeah. Well, I imagine with the Gaffer, it was like, because he knew Bilbo, he kind of like felt like he had like this place of prestige. You know, it's like the at the birthday party being like the best friend of the birthday.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you know, like Bilbo, like he and I like go way back, and like, you know, like I was doing his garden the other day, and like he said something about like maybe the type of food we'd be eating, but like I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's really funny, because it's like he's Bilbo's boy, but also in the same, it's like he's still like, you can tell he looks up to him from that stuff, and like other people are interested in what he has to say, because it's like, well, I have the scoop, because I'm closer to Bilbo than any of you guys, kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that's kind of Gaffer too. It's like, you know, it's really a loyalty to Bilbo that kind of earns him that status, you know.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, he's Bilbo's boy, but it's not like this a super close bond, you know. Like, it's definitely very warm and friendly, but like obviously Bilbo hasn't told him anything about his plan or about what actually really happened on his journey, because it's
oh
kind
yeah
of
no that means Bilbo is a complete outsider. He is not a part of the Shire, essentially. He's it's him, and then it's the Shire, so to speak, you know.
Well, it's like everyone in the Shire like thinks basically the Shire is the entire world, so as soon as you leave it, you are no longer a part.
Yeah, they assume he's dead.
That's crazy.
Like, oh, he left, must be dead, let's start going through his house.
Well, because that's the thing, they were like, at first they're like, you know, it's very queer, in the old sense, it's very queer that Bilbo's just going on this journey, like, that's so un-Hobbit, like, and he doesn't show up back, it's like, well, that's why Hobbits don't leave the Shire, he probably went out in the super dangerous world and just died, you know?
Yeah.
And then, then he comes back rich, and then he never ages, so they're, like, already kind of upset with him. Like, there's all this, like, ridicule, I was like, how to get rich, and now he's not gonna die.
Yeah, I think that's kind of interesting, right? Because they talk about how like to you know chronologies and stuff like that. They talk about how they like information they already know, and it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, no, they enjoy their life, right? They're comfortable and stuff like that. And here comes Bilbo leading this life that's almost completely different, and now he's enjoying that. It's kind of like, that's completely not right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's kind of, I think, what makes him an outsider, as well as like Frodo. It's kind of like, you know, it's like, oh man, what is this kid doing? I don't, you know, none of us have a history like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, a lot of the Hobbits are like overly obsessed with family history, like they're obsessed with it.
Oh, and then, you're
like,
right.
And then, like, it seems like Bilbo is like creating his family history, and I think that's off-putting to them because it's not them remembering like what their family has done. He's actually like doing something.
It's happening before that.
Right. It's like, wait, you can't do this. Only people in the olden times did this.
In terms of like Hobbit like culture, he's kind of like metagaming.
Yeah,
you know?
He's very
he like got like 5 levels up like way earlier than everyone else, and he's like immortal now. And they're like, well, like, this isn't fun anymore.
Immortality, it's just not that.
Yeah, ring of immortality. But yeah, I think Ryan was right to completely point out that like, while at the same time they're like, yeah, like he's metagaming, he's a douche, but like it's like, I'll put on a party for you guys. They're like, yeah, like definitely gonna go to the party. That's so cool, right?
Yeah.
It's
well,
it's like
I guess you can relate that back to Beowulf with the, you know, giving back gifts to your people, you know, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's like they want to hate the fact that he's kind of like spitting in Hobbit in the face of Hobbit tradition. And I think one of the things they dislike the most is the fact that he's like completely nonchalant, almost like. You know, you see at the end of The Hobbit / kind of in the prologue, it's like they're kind of honestly, it's not even really that they're jealous. It's more that they're like, why isn't he engaging in our like normal petty cycle? And, you know,
he's too good for us.
Yeah, it's that right. Boy ain't right. You know, it's kind of just like, oh,
right.
That Bilbo.
At the same time, though, even though they want to really hate him for that, you know, traditional, for not like following that aspect. Just living a, you know, a humble, very, you know, non-confrontational life, they also love it, you know, like that. And that's the whole thing with the party. It's like, that Bilbo ain't right, but at the same time, it's like, they don't want to say it, but they secretly kind of love, like, the excitement. Kind of.
Their heads say, party. But their hearts say yes, kind of, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. They get caught up in his life anyway. They don't want to.
Yeah, it's like everyone hates Jake Paul, but the other one, maybe. Yeah, but everyone apparently watches his videos, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think like, that actually, like, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say it's like one of those things where it's like if people perceive the way that you're acting to be like an attack on their lifestyle, they'll like say that they'll like get really angry, even if it's like,
yeah.
Well, and I see it too. It threatens all the assumptions they made about the outside world, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, exactly. It's like, really, you, if you didn't think it was the best life, right? Like, no one, don't wake up in the morning and be like, I'm going to make bad decisions today, you know? You should be going in thinking your decisions are good, you know?
They want to believe that their Shire life is the only way, and Bilbo showing them that it's not, they're like, oh, this guy sucks.
Yeah, right. No, he's a reminder that there is an outside world, right? There is a place outside the Shire.
And it's almost in a way that they're kind of excusing their withdrawal from large society, or like their focus on just being in the Hobbit area, as you know, oh well, it's too dangerous out there for a Hobbit, you know. And so for that, you know, even the people who would never go on these adventures, I'm sure if there are some people who are jealous, but I feel like what I was getting from it was that these people were like, oh wait, like actually Hobbits can go out, and so, like in a weird way they wanted him to die right when he left, because that confirms their worldview. That, oh, now the Shire's the only good place for a Hobbit. But he comes back, and he's way better off for it. And they're kind of like, okay, well, that, you know, that's not right. That's not how we see things, you know. That's not really how it's supposed to be. And he comes back with, like, all this talk of adventure, and it's almost
dragons.
It's almost like a dragon. Right, it's like the classic, like, kid from a super Christian family goes to college and comes back, and he's like, gay, and the parents are like, he was changed, you know. That's basically what it's like the outside world changed him, you know, but it didn't kill him.
I see it too. Everybody loves to just rag on successful people, you know.
Yeah, because
it comes with the territory.
Right, fuck Musk.
Basically, right. But it definitely fits with it definitely fits with their kind of headcanon. Like, you can just imagine when Bilbo is gone, they'll be like, that Bilbo had a few screws loose. He was crazy, but damn, could he throw a party, you know? So that's why the party, like, they're accepting it, rather than if he did something super outlandish where they wouldn't.
Such a bro.
Yeah. It fits into their headcanon.
I guess one thing also, it could be showing kind of like, despite all the, you know, the thoughts where it's not a part of the Shire, it is kind of like, in his actions, he is still, you know, like, he still has, like, he knows how to be a part of the Shire, right? Like, he understands that hobbits love parties and stuff like that. Like, that's kind of the thing. It's like, when he gets his wealth, all he acts like is a rich guy from the Shire, you know? It's like, and so it's kind of like, even though he was an outsider adventurer and stuff like that, he's still a hobbit from the Shire, I guess, right? You know?
I actually think that's the greatest point, and I think maybe that's where the animosity stems from, actually, because it's like, this guy's so weird, he's so unlike us, yet he's doing, like,
he's exactly
being a
like,
hobbit, you know? Right? He's doing being a hobbit better than we are, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then the party starts. Birthday party starts. Yeah, party!
Hell yeah. And I like that he gave... So he describes gift given in Hobbit culture.
Yeah.
And the madams.
And it turns out on your birthday, you give out a gift to like people.
Everyone else, yeah.
Right. Well, and he says that like people. Like once, because there's like hobbits having birthdays, you know, very often. It's like basically every week you're expected to get a gift.
Yeah, like at least one or something.
Yeah.
And so he's handing out like parcels and gifts to everyone. And I like that he's like, yeah, and like some people tried to like get back in and get another gift, but like they were called out.
Yeah.
Dude, I love
back in line.
Crap that they're doing, you know.
And, like, trying to get actual moves.
I'm skipping ahead a bit, but when they do like yard sale and she's like, oh my god. You know? But
doesn't he make some tales or tell some people some of his like travels or whatever? Nobody buys it.
I think is it at the toast when he starts talking about it?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how this like, because he basically calls for dinner to start and everyone gets super excited for dinner, and then like the way that the party set up is like there's all these like lower tables and then he has like this VIP area. Let's go behind the velvet rope and, like, it's like pretty much like all of his close friends, even though like
all 144 of his closest friends,
right?
What was the significance of 144 was his age plus, well, it's a gross, yes. Paired. I mean, a gross is a word you shouldn't use for it. But at 144 is the age of Bilbo plus the age of Frodo on this date because they share a birthday.
Oh.
And 111 is just like, it's an old age, but 33 is a really important age for the hobbits, right? That's like they're like 18-year-old or something, right?
Yeah, it's coming of age.
It was Frodo's bat mitzvah.
Well, it's like an old person bar mitzvah, basically.
Yes, you know, you got your square, which is always a fun number, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a Freemason, dude.
True.
Sick. That's where he got all the gold.
That's why he had all the rumors about him, right? Where there's smoke, there's fire.
But isn't that like the canonical age of Jesus?
Like 33? It might.
It was 33.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, so that's something that's in a lot of like Eastern kind of like Kabbalah and then like Christianity a ton is the like, you know, 33111, the kind of like repetition of numbers kind of thing. It's pretty significant.
Dubs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's the real reason they're having the party is because we all got trips.
That's pretty based. I can get my hobbit life.
That's why that's why they're letting him get away with all this. It's like, I've never seen a tent pavilion that big. And then, like, the gaffer from, like, his guard's like, yeah, but he got trips. Like,
trips, trips.
It's like, yeah, you gotta check him, bro.
And then he does the classic line from the movie.
I don't like half of, or, like, I don't.
It's like, I don't.
I don't know half of you half as well as I should like. And I like less than half of you half as well as you deserve.
Yeah. I love their reaction to that.
Yeah, I like how they're trying to figure out the compliment or not.
Yeah, he moves on. And they're like, wait, was that an insult? What compliment?
Yo, fuck Bilbo. He's kind of a douche.
Like,
yeah,
it is.
Like, yeah,
I always
picture oh, God. I have to disagree there. Like,
yeah, I have to disagree. Bilbo's kind of base.
I agree, Ryan. Like, this is so shocking. Somehow Ryan and I agree on this, and none of you do. Like, Bilbo is pretty based.
Yeah.
Like an edgelord here.
I mean, he
seems like he's always having a good time at other people's expense.
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is that you're looking at Hobbit society, and it's like the class, like, it really is emblematic of, like, the best and worst parts of, like, a small-town society, because a lot of people in the Shire don't like Bilbo, and he knows they don't like him, but they're just expecting him to be like, oh, you guys are the, like, they're expecting him to be fake, right? They're like, oh, you guys are the best, like, you know, but he's like, just out there, and he's like, it's like, yeah, like, some of you guys are pretty great, and I wish he knew you better. I wish I didn't know some of you guys, too, though, you know? And that's, like, that's so against, like, Hobbit norms of, like, where they're just kind of abusing... Out. Yeah, they're abusing the Shire system of life to be a dick to Bilbo while reaping the benefits of being around. And he's just kind of being, like, it's not even really calling them out, because he's not naming any specifics, but he's just kind of, like, voicing his opinion, you know? He's
well,
like,
I mean, yeah. I took it completely as a compliment.
Yeah, it was a compliment.
It was completely a compliment. It was just twisted, you know? It's kind of just like, dicking around. It's like, ah, come on, dude. Just, like,
but I think that's the thing, though. It's like, he made it like that. So that people would be like, is it an insulter? You know, like, I think it's very intentional that he's purposely trying to like confuse some of the members of the audience, because then they're thinking about like, oh, well, what is my relationship with Bilbo? Like taking that personally, because obviously the hobbits all take that kind of stuff personally and they all think he's talking about them. So it's like,
does he them, wish he
like,
didn't
is
know
that
me?
An insult? Right, exactly. It's like, did he insult me or was he Bilbo? Paying me?
Yeah, Bilbo's, but I mean, like, it seems
a
like
master
he's dicking
of Hobbit culture, and he definitely likes screwing with them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's just dicking around.
But that makes him base, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Why would you want to be mean to hobbits? Would you like go around bullying hobbits?
Here's the thing: I don't think he's being mean. It's like he's pushing the boundaries of their like their minds, even, and like what's acceptable. Mm-hmm. But not once in a again, way that's degenerate to their culture. In a way that,
right,
like...
Once again, he's being a better hobbit than they are. because like he's doing what hobbits do, which is like they love wordplay, you know, and he's like using wordplay to where even other hobbits are confused. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, but he's kind of just dabbing on them. I really see him as like a rootless metropolitan, you know, like he has no ties here. He doesn't see these as his people at all.
He just wants to leave.
Well, yeah.
I don't think that's true. I think he does see them as his people. They just don't see him as one of them.
Yeah, that's why I think
he ends up leaving.
I think you nail it there, Ryan. Especially
distancing himself here, though, you know.
He's like
some of you, fuck some of you, you know.
I think reading The Hobbit would really give a lot of insight for some. I don't want to be like, oh, you need to read more of the lore to understand this. But like when you see his reluctance to even leave the Shire in The Hobbit, like you really understand that like he is like a member of this community, and right. And like they've
back with so much like money, and now he's like, yeah, some of you just suck.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like even if he didn't come back with money, would he still not be ostracized? The fact that he left. It's like he's going to be ostracized when he comes back. So, like, yeah. I think to him, like, the whole reason he came back and he stayed so long is because it's his community. But in the end, he's kind of like, you know, he's given up the ring. He wants to, it's basically like he's dying and he wants to go on a last great adventure. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because even if the Shire was, like, his home, he's seen places that he was much more infatuated with, where it's like, I want to go.
So that's it. Know. The fact that he's seen places where he's more infatuated, he's lost the Shire as his people. And now, like, that's not them. That's not them ostracizing him. That's him being unable to connect with them. And now, because he's not connected, he's just dabbing on them.
I don't even know about that, though, because it's like, it clearly to him, the Shire is still his home. I just don't think that's the place he wants to die, you know? And so to him, it's like, and the idea of one last great adventure, like, it's clear he's not coming back, but he just, you know, the adventure for him, it was like such a turning point in his life. And I don't necessarily think that, you know, there's anything wrong with it. Like, let's say, you know, tomorrow we all somehow went on this quest that like significantly changed the events of the world and came back, but everyone was like, yeah, you don't really belong here anymore.
But that's the thing. Nobody's saying like don't know if he's ostracizing them or they're ostracizing him.
I think we do.
Super aloof.
I think like, especially at the end of The Hobbit, when you see them selling all of his stuff, and like even here, it talks about how the brandy wine. What's the name of the
Green Dragon?
The Sackville Baggins. Am I thinking of? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Sackville Baggins. Who were all like, oh man, yeah, really hope I can get his stuff. Like, there's a lot of evidence that Bilbo isn't well liked because he took that journey.
Right. They quite unlike Beowulf, where his companions waited, even though they thought he was dead. They basically just assumed he was dead.
I think what Max is saying, we don't know. It's kind of like a chicken and egg situation. We don't was when he got back, you know, he acted like, well, I've been on this adventure, now you guys kind of suck, or if they were like, whoa, dude, like, you know, what are you doing back here?
I think it's just like, once you see the world, you can never go back home and have things be the same, kind of.
Yeah.
Thing. That's very much true. Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, once he's out of the Shire, the entire, like, Shire worldview just, like, no longer is possible for him.
Well, he doesn't belong.
He can't engage in the petty intricacies of life. I still think he engages in the says like he's very generous, and he doesn't show up around a lot in the community, but very, very well known for all of that. And the fact that he has a party where he has so many connections, it's like it's clear that he's even if he doesn't put his life on display like all the other hobbits do, still, you know, it's not like he's a complete recluse from society. I just think the part that they don't like is the fact that he wants to be a part of the society without engaging in like the super petty, like the gossiping or the nonsense, or like, oh, you have to conduct yourself this extreme way or else you are not one of us.
Well, but that is the Hobbit way. I mean, it would be like if I can't think of a similar, because we don't really have a strong
but culture. Yeah, it's kind of like his full heart isn't in it, so to speak, you know.
But regardless, we're completely on a tangent here about whether we'll talk about that. I prefer Frodo's conduct much more to Bilbo's.
I agree. Right. I think he kind of a little bit of the like kooky old guy who just doesn't give a fuck anymore kind of idea. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not.
I think
do we mean Frodo like right now?
Just whatever, yeah. Throughout it. I mean,
I think that'll be a really interesting conversation to get to at the end, because I actually think Frodo, the difference there is I think Bilbo still sees the Shire as his home when he comes. Frodo has completely abandoned the Shire. Like even at the end, they're like it's Sam. Like you know, before
yeah,
they
that's
go,
getting
like,
that's getting
phone,
a
little.
Right? Yeah, we're,
that's just like
yeah.
So far.
Yeah, man. That's a.
But yeah, I think that'll be an interesting conversation to have, because I think I disagree on. Frodo.
Yeah, it's hard to compare Frodo who hasn't left yet to Bilbo who has.
I'd say one, they are playing up how similar Bilbo and Frodo are, right? Because it's like, you know, Gandalf asks Bilbo, who will last though, kind of thing, when he says he'll do the joke where he puts on the ring and disappears. And then, you know, Tolkien mentions that Frodo thinks it's funny, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess something on that too is like, you know, Frodo doesn't show that he thinks it's funny. He's quietly sipping his drink and then like, you know, sees all the guests out, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that Gandalf's comment here is kind of telling in that
that's kind of, I agree.
It's a very like aloof behavior, you know, that he's like, ho, I'm so clever, right?
It's funny to him. The Hobbits, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a decent. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. So I guess. So after the toast, you know, I guess he disappears, and then the conversation with Gandalf about the ring.
Yep.
Because you know, he's making his will. He's gonna put the ring into the envelope and then put it on the mantle. But before he leaves, he actually slips it into his pocket, like without. I guess I don't know if he notices or planned to. Whatever.
I think he's like trying to hide that he's doing it. Like he knows that it's wrong, but
he's kind of ashamed of it. He knows ashamed of it to himself, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then he accuses Gandalf of trying to steal it.
Yeah. That was not one of his prouder moments.
Yeah. I mean,
no, at this point, I think it's corrupting.
Yeah, right. I think that's very clear to show that he's like acting completely irrationally, because in the beginning, you know, it's kind of like Gandalf's like, you're going to go through with the whole plan, right? And Bilbo's kind of like, yeah, sure. But then when it gets to the brass tacks,
after
Bilbo
he
can't
uses,
do it.
Yeah. Well, then he just used it too. So I don't even know if like that has like.
Well, he's been using it not like frequently, but he has been using it for like the last 70 years. And that's kind of the thing. It's like it corrupts the hobbits, but it takes a lot long.
Right. Than like man.
Mm-hmm.
Or Gandalf.
Right, that's why Gandalf can't touch it.
Yeah.
Then Gandalf basically just like,
he's like, no.
I'm your fucking friend, dude. Chill out, bro.
Gandalf. I like the, now my turn to bad.
Yeah, I like that part. The part was.
I did think that was kind of fucked up. Like, I get why he does it, but it's like, man, like Gandalf clearly knows that it has like a thing on his mind, but then it's like, oh, you know what? You pissed me off. So now I'm going to like scare the shit out of you because you're still like a little hobbit, you know?
It's basically like a dude on like a hallucinogenic drug and someone just being like, oh, you're going to freak out right now? Well, I'm going to freak out right now. It's not helping.
Yeah, the short friend's like on an acid trip and then like his massive bodybuilder, bro. It's like the short friend like kind of like pushes him away. He's like, oh,
I'm
not serious, bro.
I'm
going to
kick your ass, buddy.
It's like, oh. Right. Oh, I'll kick the shit out of you. It's like, no, man, come on. I'm sorry. He's like, yeah, okay.
That's what I thought.
Right, exactly. That's how it kind of felt to me.
Like, Gandalf's
power level is just so much higher, you know.
Pops his collar, combs his hair back.
That's what I thought.
Snaps away.
I guess, though, that does kind of... That's like... Gandalf has been working on...
Gandalf's been working on what? You cut out.
He's been working on getting Bilbo to like not have the ring for a long time, and it's like, I guess if he really wanted to, fucked him up, you know.
Right.
Has he been working for that long to like get him to give it up?
He was interested. Mm-hmm. He's like, are you going to go through with the full plan? Like, are you going
to? Yeah, like, I mean, I saw that, but I mean, I saw that more as a like, okay, he's ready to give it up now. Let's make sure that he actually follows through on it. Because I think a failure to give it up when you've like partially set your mind to it, that's when like that's like a real failing there.
Right.
I feel like the amount of interest that Gandalf shows in the shows that it like, it isn't just a part of it now, you know, let's do it, you know, like he's really interested in this kind of thing, and it's like he doesn't even want it himself because he's like fearful of its power, you know.
Yeah, it shows it's like very concerning, like that the fact that he has like a magic ring, and he even makes note of it, like magic rings aren't usually like to be played with or anything, like they're super rare.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Bilbo's like, well, I mean, I guess I could take it, like, you know, I don't have to like give it up at all. And then finally
he like demanded, he tells him the like story of how he got it way back when, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think too, like, you know, we get into the exact reasoning later, but you know that Gandalf always thinks there was something up with Bilbo's excuses or like, you know,
something was going on.
Right. But until recently, you know, he does like stuff starts happening and he pieces two to two together and he's like, oh, that's not good. And that's why I think he that's like the serious business that he's on.
Does somebody have the book open?
Yeah, I do. I have it.
Does anybody want to sing the song that Bilbo sings as he's leaving?
Yeah, I like that.
I'm gonna save my singing for, I'm pretty sure Gimli has a song in the second book. I think I'm gonna save it.
I don't know if I can really sing. I will say the song that he sang, if no one objects.
Fine.
It's good. You gotta sing it, Mark. Sing it.
No.
Put your hand over your heart and say it like the
Damn, that was a Gandalf move.
No.
The road goes ever on and on, down from the... Are you just going to echo me, or... the road goes ever on and on, down from the door where it began. Now far ahead the road has gone, and I must follow it, if I can. Pursuing it with eager feet, until it joins some larger way, where many paths and errands meet. And whither then, I cannot say.
That's pretty based.
Yeah.
And then he walks into the night with the war.
Yeah.
Dude, that his exit is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's another thing. I appreciate all the dwarves here. And
dwarves based.
Yeah. And then Gandalf sort of goes back and like what he just waits for Frodo to come back.
Yeah. Also, I just want to bring something up. This is a really like minor point, but when Gandalf and we're going back a little bit. Gandalf and Bilbo are talking. Gandalf says, where is it? So, okay, Bilbo says, I'm not a thief, whatever he said. And Gandalf says, I have never called you one. Which is just bogus. Like,
he introduces him
as a thief.
Yeah.
He got the joke.
Yeah, like, I just don't know what's going on there.
If I say he's a thief, then he's a thief. Literally, that's the exact.
Yeah.
Oh, but maybe that was wordplay, because he's like, he says he's a thief, but then he never said he was a thief.
Yeah, come on, man. You know that I was lying to those dwarves. Come on.
Okay, I'm sorry to go on that tangent, because it's not really that important. So.
They're all good. It was good to bring it up.
Yeah.
It needs
to be addressed.
But yeah, so I guess Gandalf and Frodo have...
Yeah, so Frodo is like... It cuts back to Frodo being at the party by himself. And he's sort of like sitting next to the empty, like, Bilbo chair.
Now he like drops a toast.
Yeah, and then like... People are like weirded out that he just like disappeared, but they're like, oh, I guess it was just like a joke, like that sort of thing. Like,
Nothing. Well, they're literally like, oh, that's Bilbo.
Yeah, like it's like classic Bilbo here. And then like the party just sort of continues, and then it's sort of like, doesn't it go out? Like people start leaving, and then Frodo sort of retires to Bag End. And then he sort of he meets Gandalf, and they have a little talk about is he truly gone? And then Gandalf goes, yeah, he left. And then he's like, and then does he talk about the ring, or does Gandalf at that point was just sort of like tells him like, hey, don't fucking wear it.
I think he
like warns him about it.
That like, yeah, Bilbo's gone. Here's the will, kind of thing. Yeah. Their Bag End and stuff like that. And then the yards, well, not yard sale, but the giveaway that they have.
Yeah, that's like planned for tomorrow.
Yeah, because it's in his will, like that everyone gets stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Gandalf just goes like, all right, I'll talk to you in the morning. Like goes off to bed. Like just dumps all this information on Frodo. And then doesn't Frodo explain to him another story of how he got the ring?
Well, no, he's the like true story of how he got the ring. That
right.
He heard that from Bilbo, because Bilbo said there'd be no lies between them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's when you hear him like, oh yeah, I found the ring. And then like it was either him or Gollum. He chose he'd gonna leave, so he left.
Well, I think something kind of a little bit farther back about, you know, just Bilbo leaving in the wills in general. I really do like how Bilbo, because it's like, you know, this chapter is kind of Bilbo's chapter, right? And then after, because it's like homage to The Hobbit, basically. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you know that like things are changing. It's like, at first the ring was just like a little fanciful thing. It not that much is explained about it, but I think the tone is kind of set clearly that it's different. And going off of that, I feel like the way that Bilbo leaves is very, very in line with the Hobbit kind of storytelling, you know, and it reveals a lot about his character. But like it's clear that he just, you know, at first he didn't want to, and then he got an adventure, and he has like a thirst for it now, because it's like being something bigger than himself. And it's like as much as he wanted to stay in Hobbiton, it's like he, you know, that ended up like the whole song I think really ties that together. It's like he has to, like, for him, he has to follow them. And just as an aside, I really like how in the way he basically kind of dabs on the Sackville Bagginses, because he gives them silver spoons, even though he knows he stole most of his spoons already.
Right.
And like, it's like she immediately took the point, but she still took the spoon.
I laughed at that part.
Like, it's kind of like, man, what a shady motherfucker, but still takes.
Damn it.
It's all that, like, very, like, British kind of, like, subtle dick.
Yeah. Not the passive aggressive stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But
I like how as Frodo's sort of handing out the will, like, gifts to everybody, I like how at a certain point people stop, like, caring what names are on things. Like, the guy with the umbrella, like, oh yeah, I give you my umbrella. He takes, like, three umbrellas, like,
the one that he gave him. Classic, like, Sancho moment. It reminds me of, like, the Sancho when he was at the cook guy.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, is Frodo, like, gets, like, is he, like, too bummed out about it? Or, like, it's just too overwhelming?
I think he's just tired, kind of thing. Tired.
So he, like, retires a little bit. And then
guy who gets, like, tired from, living, you know? He gets, like, overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed.
Well, he introduces Mary here.
And then Mary sort of takes
Well, I think they introduce Mary and Pippin actually earlier in the prologue, because I think they talk about how they both, I guess this was a point I kind of wanted to bring up a little bit later, but I'll do it now. But they talk about how both of them, like, set up, like I guess kind of library, right? And the, like, Mary's was, like, basically a Rohan, like, library, and then Pippin's was, like, a Gondor one.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I think something that was interesting there is it kind of plays into like the, you know, solar lunar kind of ideas is on, you know, Gondor, I think, is kind of more lunar, and then, you know, you have Rohan, which is kind of more solar. And then so with Merry's library, he writes the books himself, actually, which is kind of like he writes his own histories of Rohan and stuff like that. Whereas with the Gondor one, Pippin actually collects like the greatest histories of Gondor and puts those in the library.
Oh, good catch, Eric.
Yeah, so that was something I thought was, like, you know, and it's kind of the, like, you know, Apollo and Diana twins stuff kind of thing, you know.
Right, right.
Right, together it's like they make a complete group. Yeah, I think that is a pretty good point to bring up. And I was also just going to say, like, just for the part with, like, I feel like a lot of it, yeah, Frodo's sad because he obviously didn't want Bilbo to go, but he's also is like the only one in the Shire who kind of Bilbo and him understand each other. He's like, you know what? I could totally see this being the way Bilbo wants to leave the world as he knows it. You know, like, this is how Bilbo wants to go out. I respect that, even though I miss him, kind of thing. And I do like how it's like when Gandalf leaves, it's like, you know, Frodo is perceptive enough. That's the word I'm looking for. He's perceptive enough to notice that, like, Gandalf has a great weight on him, but he obviously doesn't know, like, what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The I think something interesting too is kind of they show how quickly, I guess, Frodo kind of integrates into his role as, like, the master of Bag End, because it's like it's literally at the party he, like, kind of knows what's up a little bit, and he starts playing the role of, like, saying goodbyes to everyone and stuff like that in the absence of Bilbo. Mm-hmm. He kind of and I mean, like,
yeah, he takes over that role.
And I mean, he kind of says that to Gandalf later. It's kind of like he knew what was going to happen, you know, kind of thing. Like, he wasn't in the dark as much as, you know, people might have thought, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I got Godfather vibes from this.
explain, yeah. Jamie.
Well, when Michael takes over as his family business, you know, it's like passing on the torch, right? But it's someone who's like a little bit more in the know than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I mean, yeah. It was like his heir, right? It's not his son. It's literally like his nephew that he adopted, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they even bring that up because doesn't like. Who shows up? But somebody shows up, like, to when he's giving out gifts, who was like, he would have been the heir of Bag End.
That's Frodo, a Sackville Bag.
That's a Sackville.
Yeah.
That's why they hate it so much.
They're just like, eh. And then they call, doesn't he call him like a Brandy Took or whatever? Which is
because I think his dad was Brandy Took or something.
Yeah. And then Frodo's like, you hear that, Mary?
Oh, dude, this was classic. And he's like, no.
It was a compliment.
He's like, it's a compliment, so it must not be true.
Yeah, that's damning.
Now that's some good boy. That's some lasting right there.
Oh, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then doesn't he has a final talk with Gandalf about basically like, hey man, so about what we said about the ring, yeah, definitely don't wear it till I get back.
Yeah, he's like, Gandalf needs to go and look into it some.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then does it end there?
I believe it does.
Yeah, it ends with him leaving.
Yeah. And that's in the chapter one.
So overall thoughts?
Dude, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
Yes, whatever.
Like, it I don't know, these two chapters have just, or the preface and or the prologue in this, have really got me, like, primed for reading more.
Dude, it's a classic setup.
Yeah, I mean, it really. Oh, I guess one last thought is, so their birthday, both of them, you know, same birthday kind of thing, they mentioned that, and it's September, which is typically the fall equinox, actually.
Ooh, 22nd, because, yeah, September 22nd.
November's. Yeah, November
September?
22nd. Or September, yeah, sorry. September, sorry, my bad. But, yeah, so 9/22. And, I mean, that's kind of one of those things, I think, so that's, like, played up a lot, is kind of, like, that's the starting of a lot of journeys. Kind of, you go through the you know, because that's the start of winter, right? So it's the start of the chaos, so to speak. You're entering into, like, the chaotic months and stuff like that. That's kind of, a lot of people talk about, like, the Apollo slain python myth is kind of representative of that, where it's like the 6 months of, you know, like winter, so to speak, you know.
It's the date I broke up with my ex, so, you
know. Ooh.
So that's my ex-wife.
Yeah, huh? Looks like I'm going on an adventure, boys.
Damn.
But yeah, I guess last everyone, anyone?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of not surprised that I really liked this, because you know it's the Lord of the Rings, and I really like Tolkien's work. I think it's really interesting for me to read it again. Especially because it kind of the same way with when we went back to Metamorphosis, but magnified, right? Because Metamorphosis, it was really interesting to read again and be like, oh, I actually got something out of it this time. But to have a book that I was heavily invested in when I was younger and then be rereading it again with stuff I know now is really interesting. And I really like, actually, that we were fortunate enough to read Beowulf first, because I think something that I've really been picking up on, and I'm probably going to mention like 1,000 times throughout our read, so just keep that in mind. But I definitely notice how you can tell Tolkien was, you know, and studied Anglo-Saxon literature and history. It definitely is like that kind of cozy theme that you get from reading about the King's Hall in the beginning of Beowulf. It's like that, but like much more in detail, you know, in his writing about like the Shire, and I can't wait to see how he uses that for Gondor, stuff like that. I'm just really excited to get more into this as well. So
they was good hobbies.